Hey, okay.
Freedom, revamp. Time to get amped up. Turn up your radio podcast. This is the Let Loose Anthem. Discover who you are. You perfect, got a purpose. Don't let them tell you nah. They nervous, they don't deserve it.
Open your mind up, love, and shine light up.
Illuminate, you will feel great.
Freedom, revamp. Open your mind up, love, and shine light now.
Don't hesitate, tune in today. A free life, internal freedom is your right, it's your life, yeah. Freedom, revamp.
Oh my gosh, welcome back to Freedom Revamp, the podcast. If you don't know who I am Courtney, the owner, founder, CEO, all of those good things. So those of you who have been waiting, I know I released like, what, 2 or 3 episodes for season 4 and then I kind of went MIA, but I am back and we are so much better. I will be consistent, I promise. I am super excited for today's episode because I have my girl Kayla Sloan coming on here with me. We were supposed to be talking about creating content, but we talked about so much more and I'm honestly grateful for the conversation. So before I bring Kayla on, let me tell you a little bit about her. So Kayla is an ambitious, goal-oriented sales executive in the health insurance industry. She's a business owner and a content creator. We love to see it. Kayla was born in New Orleans, Louisiana, and currently resides in Atlanta. She earned her Bachelor's of Arts degree in Business Management at Agnes Scott College and was heavily involved in extracurricular activities and organizations throughout her entire 4 years. Kayla is a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. She's a third generation legacy, by the way. And she also co-owns a Greek paraphernalia line exclusively for Zetas with her twin sister. Be sure to check them out. During her free time, Kayla enjoys shopping, traveling, and binging her favorite show, Stranger Things. Kayla's favorite quote is, "You miss 100% of the shots you don't take." And her goal in life is to encourage everyone around her to shoot for the moon, because even if you miss it, you will land among the stars. So let's get into this topic.
All right, guys. So without further ado, I'm going to bring Kayla on. Say hello to everyone.
Hey, y'all.
Y'all, I'm super excited to have this conversation because Kayla is a Libra. She's also my birthday twin. And yes, and we're going to be talking about like just being a creative, creating content, and all of those good things. But before we get into the actual conversation, Kayla, I always ask my guests, first, how are you doing?
Good. How are you, Miss Courtney?
I am doing good. I'm doing good. And then the next two questions, they're just based on like the foundation of Freedom Revamp. So I want to ask, how do you define freedom?
I think freedom for me, it's funny because like as I'm interviewing for jobs, people are asking me like, what is the one thing that you're looking for in a company? And I said, well, I've had so much freedom in my last role. I would hope that that continues. And that's being able to professionally for me, be able to create my own schedule, to be able to do what I want to do. As long as I know that I have goals basically written down, I need 1, 2, and 3 to succeed. If I'm doing those in my own way to get to those, then that looks like freedom for me. Being able to not be micromanaged, being able to navigate not only my world professionally, but personally. And so I think personally, again, that comes to being able to navigate your life, understanding that there will be times where you're down and really times where you're up and like super excited about all the things that you're doing. But I think in that, like, there has to be freedom in every individual. We're not all the same. We all have a different way of doing things. And I think it's for us to embrace. So that's how I kind of define freedom.
I love that. And I ask the question to every guest because freedom looks different for everybody.
Yeah.
So for me, freedom is the ability to learn who I am and be who I am without fear of what others might think or say, but also allowing other people that same space.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Yeah.
So while my definition remains the same, how I practice it in different seasons of my life looks different. So in this season, it actually just shifted. It's honestly just centering myself and not allowing negativity to get to me.
Yeah.
And also just journaling because, y'all, it's hard out here. And sometimes I can really just get in, like, in my head over everything that's going on or blame myself for certain things and just allow myself to dive into, like, a depression.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how would you say you're practicing freedom in this season?
I would say for me, I understand the things that have to be done every single day. So for me, that is having a 9-to-5. Like, bills don't get paid without you working. 9-to-5 for me. So I know that Kayla has to get up every morning, work from 9 to 5 p.m., but my freedom comes from, one, in my professional job, I am in sales, so we have ability to create our own schedule. But two, my freedom a lot of the times revolves around my creativity and what I do after my 9-to-5. So, of course, create content. I'm working on a super awesome Christmas project right now that I'm going to be setting up. Being able to help others with content, going out and doing solo dates, like that's what freedom looks like for me. So I kind of know in my life what the structure needs to be as far as work Monday through Friday, 9-to-5, church on Sunday. But then my freedom comes from, Kayla, what are you doing outside of those like structured hours to basically, like you said, be able to stay uprooted in your health and happiness. And so those are kind of the things that I do.
I love that you mentioned solo dates because I just started doing it on my birthday because I turned 21 and I was like, I'm always complaining about how I'm single, but you know, you hear the quote, nobody else can love you unless you know how to love you. So like, I've been taking myself out on solo dates once a week. I skipped it this week because my solo date was with my family or whatever. But yeah. I've been going once a week just to like learn what I actually like. Because if someone says, well, what do you like to do? I can't give I don't know as an answer.
Right. I literally went somewhere. So it's like, I love Stranger Things. TMI. Mm-hmm. I know that a lot of people don't
watch. I love Stranger Things too.
I love Stranger Things. And they have this touring like experience exhibit, whatever. And mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, I know that nobody watches it over here. At least my friends don't watch it. I'm not super into it like I am. I'm like, did y'all see what happened? They're like, girl, we do not watch that. So I saw that the tour was coming to Atlanta. And I was like, ooh, I'm getting a ticket. And I only got one. My thing is, though, like, I'm never afraid to go places solo. And when I got there, all the workers were like, oh, party of two? And I was like, no, it's just me. And they were like, oh, that's okay. Why are you here by yourself? And I'm like, because I can be. Like, do you need to go? Like,
right.
I just felt like, oh, mind your business.
Yes. And I can relate to that. When I went out, because my actual birthday I spent by myself because I had so much planned with other people for the weekend. I was like, I need peace today.
Yeah.
So that was my first time ever going anywhere by myself in 21 years of living, y'all. And so I was really nervous, but it wasn't as bad as I thought it would be because I sat at the bar because, you know, 21. And so the bartender was like, I mean, that's normal. And through that, like, I had a great conversation with the bartender. I had a great conversation with this other lady that was there by herself. And like, so not only does going out on solo dates help you like learn who you are, but it also helps you meet new people that you probably wouldn't meet if you were out with a group of people.
For sure. And I think a lot of times, like, I don't even come away with the intent of, oh, I'm going to make new friends. But right. It's so insane how there's so many people that are already doing this because we know what self-care looks like in 2022. And people, like, I don't know, like, you underestimate, like, the power of people's jobs. For instance, you're like, oh, I'm going to go to a restaurant and eat. But if you're sitting at a bar, 9 times out of 10, that person is working behind the bar because they're a very friendly person. Like, when people are getting hired for certain things, it's because they have certain characteristics. So you'd be, like, remiss to understand, like, you know, when you go to a bar, like, sit at the bar, like, they're friendly people. I haven't ran into, like, a mean bar person, like, what do you call it, bartender? But that's because, like, that's their job. And you can't be afraid to do those things because you're scared of how people are going to receive you. Like, go to places where you know there's happy people and people that will talk to you, converse with you, and you'll be good.
Yes. So, guys, we actually got off topic, but, like, I love when I find people that go out on solo dates. This girl on TikTok, she's actually in a relationship and she still takes herself out on solo dates just so she can continue to learn, you know, about herself because we're ever evolving people. But guys, we're going to get into the topic for real now. So I don't remember how I came across your feed. I know a lot of people in Atlanta because my cousin went to Clark and our old podcast host, Deshaun, she's from Atlanta. So I don't remember. But I do know, like, even if I come across people, I don't always follow them or keep up with their content. But when I saw your feed, like, not only was it aesthetically pleasing, but like, it just screams like self-love. It screams confidence. So would you say you have ever struggled with self-love or confidence in your life?
For sure. So a couple things. I think a lot of what we talk about when we talk about like self-love and love in general, we have to think about like our growing up patterns. That could be love from family, from friends, from terrible relationships, from great relationships. And so my background is that I was raised in a single parent household. I didn't have a father around. My mom raised us. And so as I got older, she sent us to all girls high school. And then I went to all women's college, St. Agnes in Houston, and then Agnes Scott in Atlanta. And between that, my mom, I think in high school particularly, was like, I hope that you don't grow up to try to find the love that you didn't have from a father in men. And that's a deeper topic for another day. But I say that to say, like, that's where I began to, as I was growing into this adult woman, try to figure out what love looks like for me. And a lot of times I may have compromised my self-worth, for instance, allowing my ex-boyfriend to cheat and for me to quickly forgive him. Like, in those instances, I can now tell any girl, like, don't stay if they're cheating. Like, they did it for a reason. It was a conscious decision. And so my self-love has grown over time. And I say that to say, like, who I am right now is like the little Kayla's dream. Like, everybody's going to go through their own experience as far as, oh, I wish I would have done better in X, Y, and Z, but it's like our story to tell. And so now I just kind of understand, Kayla, these are the experiences you've had. Also, these are the experiences that your friends have had. You know what good love looks like because you give it to other people and you've had it. So just try to continue that. And then I think in that, it helps me understand my self-worth and my self-love because I'm not allowing people to treat me any kind of way. So there was a point in time when I was growing up where I was like, I don't know what this looks like, but I think that comes with anything in life. Like, when we're young, we don't know much, and it's all about our experiences. So that's kind of how I, like, shaped into my self-love journey. And luckily, my Instagram shows it. I definitely don't try to, like, be super, like, rah, I'm that girl, blah, blah, blah. But I do hear a lot of people say, like, I'm very confident. I really appreciate people noticing that. And it's just because of the experiences that I went through. So.
Right. Yeah. And I can definitely relate to growing up in a single parent household, being raised by just my mom. It was me, my mom, and my sister growing up. And of course, you know, our community of family and friends. But growing up without a father really played a toll on like how I viewed myself and sometimes how I still view myself. I would grow up like being angry at him for the decisions he made that caused him to no longer be in my life. But also, I don't know why, and I don't know if any other child has experienced this, but I was angry at my mom because I was like, you chose him. And it took me a while. Yeah. And that was not fair to her at all because she did choose him, but she did not make him make his decisions. You know, she couldn't control what he did. And so, like, growing up just being completely angry with both of the people who I came from really played, like, a part in how I view myself and how I loved or actually didn't love myself. So as I got older, and honestly, this journey started literally this year, like in February of this year, I really had to like mend, of course, the relationship with my mom because she didn't do anything, but also even taking the time to forgive my dad and get to know him. And in doing that, I learned so much about myself and like where parts of me came from, because I'm like, dang, that's where I get that from. Like, I get that from my dad. But yeah, so that's honestly like where my journey began was this year, because things just seemed to be falling apart. And I realized like all of it was coming from the lack of love that I didn't have for myself.
Yeah, definitely. That was why I was listening to this podcast. I've been like super into like listening, not only to like, I've really like these last few weeks have been really hard for me personally. So I've been listening to like sermons, T.D. Jakes, Sarah Jakes Roberts, and they've been reading me for filth. But aside from that, I'd be listening to like podcasts, and like there's certain like men led ones, which I know like people are like, don't give a man a mic. These men are out here talking crazy. There are some that are really, really good. There's one that I watch called the Dear Wifey podcast. And that man has guests on his thing, both single people, couples, and they all talk about their stories and how different they are. But there was one guy that was on there, and he's a single guy our age. And he was like, what do you think is a problem in our generation with women being able to be loved correctly? Like, what is a good foundation? Because he had like three sisters. And so he was like, what can you compare the women in our generation to what you're seeing in your home? And he was like, the importance of a father's presence is so important. And a lot of girls don't have that. Yes. So it takes us a couple extra years to learn that stuff. And also, completely off topic, but when you were talking about your mom, I learned too, especially in my recent years, and I talk to my twin sister about this all the time, that we have to grant our mom's grace, because my mom had three kids. Your mom had, you said you've been a sister.
Yeah, two of them.
And it's crazy because me and my siblings were all in college at the same time. So now as an adult, it's like, oh my God, like these single Black mothers are literally super women because how? And I think if anything, it's more of like a, for me, they took that sacrifice. Like my father did drugs, which is why my mom chose to leave him. The decision was based off of, I do not want my kids around this environment. So at the time, although the decision, the long-term one was going to impact us by not having a father, it would be better for us to have that and have a strong mother versus living in a crack house, right? Like there's certain things that mothers and I think single parents just have to make that decision for.
Yeah.
And I think from a long-term perspective, as an adult, we can literally just look back and say like, thank you, mom, for doing this. I'm here because of this, because had not you done this, I don't know where I would be. And we say the same thing to God. So in certain situations, but I just wanted to say that. Yeah.
Yeah. And for me, it was the fact that, well, at least the parts that, you know, I know, it was my right. dad cheated. Like, I have a brother that's the same age as me.
Mm-hmm.
We're twins, but we're not.
Yeah.
So, and in getting to, like, know my dad over the course of from February till now, like I said, it showed me a lot about who I am. But also, he even said, like, you shouldn't have been mad at your mom for my decision.
Yeah.
So, like, to see that growth in him was, like, definitely played a huge part in like me forgiving him, but also like I said, mending that relationship with my mom. And she, like you said, single moms are single parents in general, because there are single dads out there. Like
yeah.
they are superheroes. Like
yeah.
my mom worked 3 jobs at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time was still there for all the school events, all the church events, like everything. And me and my sister literally lacked nothing. And so in moments where, like, I feel myself, like, getting angry with her or, like, just, you know, not appreciating her as much as I should, I literally have to take myself back to the place of, like, being a child and saying she really did all of this. And
yeah.
also taking myself, you know, back to that conversation with my dad where it was, like, none of this was her fault. She made a conscious decision to give you a better life.
Yeah, my favorite quote, and I sound like such an old lady. My mom is always like, Kayla, how are you? I'm literally like, Mom, I'll be doing the best I can with what I got. And I think in that moment, my mom has literally all her life, especially yeah. after she had us, did the best she could with what she had. And we're all alive. Nobody's in jail between, I guess, you and me. So
right.
I think we're all in a great place. But that was such a good conversation. Sorry, I definitely detoured from the questions, but I just felt like I wanted to.
No, I feel like that was, it's like, I love when stuff like that happens because these podcast episodes are always like therapy sessions for me
mm-hmm.
because I like learn so much from you guys,
yeah.
especially since a lot of the people I interview are like maybe a few years older than me or, you know, around the same age as me. But it's therapy because, like I said, I learn from you guys, but I also get to share parts of myself that I probably wouldn't share if I didn't have these conversations.
Right.
Yes. So getting back into gear, guys.
time now.
Right. I really do love a good play on names. Like my Instagram is Hey It's Court, just because like when I reach out to people, I'm always like, Hey It's Court. Or like if I exchange numbers, Hey It's Court.
Yeah.
Just like my sister's used to be Hey Ari, because every time somebody saw her, I was like, Hey Ari. So like but you started the hashtag K-Tent, which shout out to the K's out there. Kayla is actually my middle name.
I saw that yesterday. I was like, this is crazy.
Yes. So did you always see yourself being a digital creator, and how did you get started into, you know, all of this?
Yeah, I think I like was always a creative child. It's funny because even in my family, they were always like, Kayla's the business girl. Kayla handles X, Y, and Z. Like if I hear somebody say, I need something, Kayla's writing it down. And that's even with my friends. I like pop up with, oh girl, you said you needed some socks yesterday. Here you go. The guy I'm dating, I know that for instance, what he likes. So every time he comes over, there's Twizzlers and Cheez-Its here. Like I just always make sure that I'm like on top of it in whatever way I can. And that's not to say that I'm like a perfectionist at all. It's more of like, I know there's a need out there and I'm just going to make sure at least for me and the people around me that's taken care of. So K-Tent kind of came from, of course, me loving to, I originally started doing like, I was really heavy into like marketing in college and even in high school. Anytime that somebody was running for SGA, I made sure there was flyers and out in that Black Student Union, I was the marketing person and I did marketing internships all 4 years of college. So I've just always been this type of like creative girl. And so when it came to Instagram, when my mom finally did let me have one, I think either like senior year of high school or I just made one in college, I was like, oh, I love to take pictures. I know I'm cute. Let me go ahead and put this little outfit on. And then it just became a bigger thing. I mean, of course, like Instagram and Facebook and Twitter are ever evolving, and TikTok are ever evolving social media platforms. So there's always something new. But I really love how when Reels came out, luckily they haven't changed in the last like year or so. So that's been a consistent way for me to do some really creative things, dress up, or, you know, just show like an event I went to, or, hey, something I'm looking forward to. And I even have one where I just like literally set up my camera and I was like putting a flower bouquet together. Like, the creativity like realm is endless now. So I was just like, I love doing this. Again, when you asked me like define freedom and what I do and self-love, that all goes back to me loving to be creative. And I think my 9-to-5, as anybody's 9-to-5, is really structured. So you want to be able to do something on your own time, such as creativity, traveling, shopping, or whatever that you're not already doing during the week. So I kind of think that's how that came about. It was kind of like my space to be able to get away from like formalized work areas and be able to like do something fun for myself. So
yes, and I'm a huge creative at heart as well. Like, my Instagram bio used to say I am all the things, because I did music, I did social media, I did the podcast. Like, I do everything creative, and I do think it's definitely a way to like get things from being so structured. I recently started trying to like paint just to, you know, express myself and see what comes of it. Mm-hmm. It's not the best, y'all. Y'all won't see it anytime soon, but it is a good way to, you know, just get your emotions out there and just see what comes of it.
You'd be surprised though, Courtney. Like, don't doubt yourself. People will sell a canvas with like a swipe of paint on it. Oh my gosh. You are Picasso. Like, what?
Right.
I was on a website once, and this is not to demean like anybody's creativity, but I literally saw like people, it was like a blank canvas with like some strokes of spackle dried on mm-hmm. it. And I was like, I have spackle here. I have blank canvases here. I am doing this here. That painting was like $100. But I was like, there's no way I'm paying for that when I know that I can do the same thing here. And if anything, it was just motivation. But overall, like, don't doubt yourself. There's so many ways to just hop in. And you believe, like, I'm pretty sure, like, half the celebrities that share their stories never thought they would be where they are. So.
True. True. But one part of social media I just cannot get into, I've tried so hard, is TikTok and Reels, because I have all of the footage. But when it comes time to sit down and edit, I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, I probably released 3 things from October to now when I had like 10 ideas in mind, just because sitting down to edit it is just too much for me. It's a lot.
Like, me and my friend were just talking about that. She went to Morocco in like September. She was like, girl, I still got all the footage. And I was like, you wouldn't believe, one, the amount of things that the reels that I finished. And we're like, I don't even want to post that anymore. Like, it's outdated, or the topic is no longer relevant, or it just doesn't fit my page anymore. But like people say on Instagram, like, post it, do what you got to do. Like, a lot of people worried about the algorithm right now. I'm not. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But y'all gonna find out that Kayla was wearing this outfit, or that Kayla went to Orlando last week or a month ago. Y'all gonna get
it. Not a month. But yeah, it's just really hard and really frustrating for me, because I see the idea and I think it's just like executing it. Like, I know for me, it used to be a fear of like how people will perceive it, or like, will it get the likes I think it's gonna get? But it's not even that anymore. It's literally just, I get frustrated when it doesn't turn out how I envisioned it in my head. Because with my Instagram feed, like, I wanted it to be so structured. I would literally sit down and plan out, like, maybe not what I'm gonna wear, but like, this post should be like a filler post with a quote or like some random image. Yeah. And this one has to be me posing this way and this way. And now I'm just like, honestly, it don't even matter anymore.
Yeah, I was the same way. Trust and believe.
Yes. So it's hard out here. But where do you find the inspiration? Because I know you do content for yourself and you also do photo shoots for other people. So where do you find the inspiration for like all of your different content?
Yeah, for myself, of course, it's fashion. I love to dress up and I have like so many clothes. And so I'm like, take those opportunities. Sometimes I'm like rushing places and I'm like, shoot, I can't get any photos or a reel right now. So I'll just ask a friend to take pictures later. But it kind of just is like spur of the moment. A lot of content that I have like partnerships with, like Third Love or, you know, these Greek paraphernalia companies that send me stuff, that's more planned. But, and that's as a result of me just posting it. Like I said, when I just post it and it hits somebody's profile, or they're like, oh my gosh, I need that girl for a Zeta photo shoot, which somebody hit me up tomorrow for one. That's as a result of me just posting my own creativity stuff. And so it's a little bit of like the structured stuff when it comes to the paid partnerships. But for me, I literally, like, what I said about making the bouquet, I'm like, I love this audio. You know, like, a lot of people save those, like, audios from people's reels and stuff, and you can, like, go to it and see 1,000 saved audios that you've never used. I was like, I'm going to start using some of these, and I love, because I look at other people posting a picture of a skyline, and it has the most beautiful audio with it, and that's what their reel did for me. Like, I was like, oh, that message really touched me. So I'm like, I have the power to do the same thing. I just got to get out there and do it. Like, my favorite quote is, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. And it's so true. Like, closed mouths don't get fed. And you literally can't get anywhere if you don't start. So, right. Yeah.
I love that. I would say, honestly, y'all, Pinterest. That's where I get my inspiration.
Pinterest, but I am glad that you do.
Yes. And honestly, because, like, I know a lot of people are using Pinterest as another form of Instagram now. Like, people are blowing up on Pinterest, and I'm like, what the heck? All you're doing is saving pictures. But so I would say I find a lot of my inspiration on Pinterest, but also just Black women, especially those that are, like, in my community or connected with other people I know. I'm just like, oh my gosh, her feed is so cute. Like, girl, where you get that preset from? Like, how did you come up with this idea? And I'm not afraid to reach out to people and ask questions. Like, if their feed inspires me or is aesthetically pleasing, or even on the spiritual or religious side of things, like, oh my gosh, like, how did you get to this space in your relationship with God? Like, just reaching out to people. I'm not afraid to do that.
That's good. What are your, so question for you, what are, like, your top three? Because I had to make a Pinterest, I was doing this lookbook for this Christmas thing that I'm doing, and they made me pick, like, three things that I want to see, and I was like, I don't want no emails about this, but I just clicked, like, three random ones. But what are your, like, three top Pinterest, you know, like, moods?
Ooh, so hair. Okay. Period. Because, y'all, if you've kept up with me over the years, you know my hair literally changes probably twice a month. And then I have a homeboy. I hope I'm answering this question how you want me to. But I have a homeboy just because I love, like, the boho vibe. So, like, literally I have a section for, like, living room, how I want to clean up, kitchen, how I want the outside of my house to look. And then the last one, don't laugh at me, y'all, but the last one is family events, because my family has at least 3 events a month that, like, I'm always the secretary for or planning for it. So I literally have a board dedicated to, like, everyone's birthdays, all the holidays that are coming up, and just random stuff, because we'll throw a brunch simply because somebody's dog turned 2. Like, we have random events, so like, that's the, those are my top 3 boards that I use, like, all the time. Yeah. But so lastly, I want to touch on this because I feel like every creator has experienced this in one extreme or another, but imposter syndrome.
Yes.
And it's so hard to, like I said, I get inspiration from people. It's so hard to, like, you know, not get that confused with imposter syndrome, because there's a very fine line. Like, you can get inspiration from somebody, but, like, stealing their ideas completely or comparing yourselves to them completely is, like, a totally different thing. So have you ever experienced imposter syndrome?
I won't say I've experienced the like, complete definition of imposter syndrome, but I am definitely, Courtney, in a space where 9 times out of 10, I'm feeling so burnt out from work to the sun now being down at 5 p.m. It is literally the show. I'm not an early bird. I've never been. So being a night owl plus the sun going down at 5, I'm still waking up at 9. It doesn't change my schedule. So with that being said, that was off topic. But anyway, I won't say I've experienced, like, an extreme definition of imposter syndrome, but there's definitely been times, especially recently, where I'm like, I kind of just want to delete my Instagram. Like, this is too much. There's people out here who have the 200K that are able to quit their job and do content full time. I don't plan on doing that unless it's literally paying my bills like my 9-to-5 does. But a lot of times I'm like, I have so many ideas that I want to do, and I just, there's not enough time in the day to do it. I'm tired. I'm not motivated. There could be a bunch of different reasons. You know, my grandmother passed in March, so I experienced grief coming in several different ways. You know, you have friends here, family, whatever. Like, there's just so many things that contribute to, like, your emotions day to day. And I just feel like sometimes I'm just not motivated at all. But then, another reason why I say I really haven't experienced the extremes of imposter syndrome It's because I know that I'm capable of making a reel, taking nice pictures. Like, it took me a while to get there. Sometimes I was like, oh, girl, that was not cute, or that was blurry, you got to delete it. But over time, I'm like, I'm very confident in my work. So it's not that I know that I can't do it. It's just like the moments and the spurts of like, no motivation. I want to delete my Instagram. I need a social media break. It's really what hits me harder.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm experiencing that, like, I talked to you briefly about it, but, like, I've definitely, before taking my social media break and just creating content for people I know and trust, like, I would experience more so the comparison side of imposter syndrome. So it's like, man, I've been working on my content for this long, and how is this person like getting more recognition, or how are they getting their followers up faster than me, or, you know, stuff like that. And I really had to realize that that was probably what was holding me back, because I would lose confidence in my content and in what I was doing, like in my personal life, as well as what I'm doing with Freedom Revamp. So I would say, as far as imposter syndrome, I really just struggle with the comparison side of it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Over time, you'll understand, like, you have a special, I don't know how you pronounce this word. You have a special area of and way of doing things that other people can't do. And I think it'll, like, help you, like, go so far. Like, I know there's other people out there that do fashion reels, but they may not have put it together like I did. you know, there's just, like, so many different ways of doing things, which goes back to the definition that I said of freedom. Like, if we were all structured in one way, the world would be so boring, like,
yeah,
no one would be interesting. Everyone would just like the same person. But God kind of created us to all love different things, be able to do different things. There are some people that are really into, for instance, like anime. I don't really see myself watching anime. People that love to play music. I think it would take forever for me to learn an instrument. You know, bartend. I think I always doubt myself that I won't remember the right recipe. So, you know, everybody's an expert at something.
Yeah, and honestly, that's what got me started with Freedom Revamp. So if you're a listener, you've heard this story before, but I'm going to still share it. Because so when God gave me the vision to start this platform, I was 15 going on 16. And I was really just like, first of all, I'm so young. Nobody's going to listen to me. Mm-hmm. Second of all, I'm depressed. I have anxiety. I'm not the best daughter, sister, friend, blah, blah, blah. So why would anybody want to hear me, you know, talk about freedom, especially in this season of my life where I'm currently not free? Mm-hmm. And God was telling me, because my story is so unique, that's why he needed me to do it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, can it wait till, you know, I'm healed? He's like, no, people need to hear it while you're going through it.
Yeah.
Because for a lot of people, it's, you know, wait until you're out of it and then tell the story. But for whatever reason, God wants me to share stuff while I'm going through it. I don't know if it's because it helps me, which it does, but he was just telling me, like, there are so many people who are going to gain from my story as it's happening.
Right.
And it's really scary, and it's really hard, because I have to be vulnerable even in moments where I don't know what I'm feeling. But yeah.
There is a sermon that I listened to T.D. Jakes the other day. There was one called Steady in the Storm, which is really good. I think that kind of encompasses everything, like beginning to end, being able to tell your story when the storm is over. But there was another one that was talking about, I think, being fruitful. And so it was basically saying, like, you have to understand that there's a season for everything, which, of course, even that goes with sadness. But also, you can't be fruitful in the next season if you're still in the last season. So it's kind of like we have to continue to motivate ourselves. Yeah. Even in downtimes, and it's so hard. Like, completely, I understand. When I graduated college, the first apartment that I had no windows in the bedroom, Courtney. And when I tell you, that was the most depressing thing. I literally just went through a breakup, found out my boyfriend was cheating on me. He was in a whole nother, like, state. Didn't want to get out of bed. And so basic things like sunlight, you, like, undermine while looking at apartments or whatever. But I literally had to, like, get myself up out of that storm.
Yeah.
And so, of course, you know, and I'm sure you've heard from many people, like, this is not the end. There's a light at what do people say? Like, there's a light at the end of the tunnel.
At the end of the tunnel.
All those good phrases, like, to be able to tell your story at the end is what a lot of people do. A lot of people do not say, for instance, they talk about social media and how people pretend like everything is perfect. But for you to be able to say, yeah, I'm going through stuff, but I'm still getting up and working. I'm still hurting. I'm still suffering, but I know that I'm going to make it, is still as equal, if not even more powerful of a story. So.
Yeah, and it's very hard sometimes because it's like, I don't want to even get out of bed, but I got to go to work. I got to record this podcast. I got to email people about the magazine. I got to walk my dog. Yeah. Honestly, that's probably the main reason I get up, is to walk my dog, because if not, she gone. Yes. But yeah, I would definitely say that, like, God has been implementing things in my day-to-day life that make me look forward to the next day or to the next moment, even like in my darkest times.
That's great.
But that was honestly everything I had for today, y'all. I don't even know what the topic is anymore. Like, it started out supposed to be about content, but we've touched on so many great things. And like I said, I love when that happens, except I hate when I have to come up with a title for the episode. So, but was there anything you wanted to share with our audience before we close out?
I think that's it. I mean, above all else, I think we talked a lot about, you know, being free, being creative, and really how do you get through storms? And like I said, I've had my own darkest moments this year. Like, I'm ready for 2022 to be over. I think it literally started with the death of my grandma and me trying to navigate through like that unexpected thing. So, I mean, like, just literally what I said, like, you can't get into your next season until you close out your last season, whatever that is, a bad relationship, a bad job. I quit my job this year, my last job. Like, I've done so much stuff where I'm like, this was not planned. Mm-hmm. That's what the sermon was that I was going to tell you about. Sarah Jakes Roberts said, God already has like our entire roadmap planned out. But if he gave it to us all at once, we would just run to the hills. But right. He doesn't do that because he wants us to understand there's some things you're going to have to go through to get this reward. Like, nothing in life comes easy. And right. So that's probably what I would say to y'all, is just stay strong. Mental health awareness is such an important topic. And back to like our talk about self-care and solo dates, you know what makes you happy, or if not, start to explore that. But do whatever you have to do to get to that next season so that you can be fruitful. Don't stay and be stuck in where you know that you're not. Because we only got one life, and with the things that are happening in this world, like, we just gotta live it to our fullest potential. So
yes, love that. So with that being said, guys, I don't have anything else to add. Be sure to follow Kayla. I'm gonna link her socials down below, the ones that she wants me to link. That's all for today, and until next time, continue to practice freedom.
Yay. Thanks, y'all.